This is Chris Brandt. Welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Jessica Stewart and Jennifer Voss, and we are going to do a demo. Well, they're going to do a demo of the Metaphor tool. So, ladies, we're all set.
Awesome. So this is Jessica. Hello.
And this is Jennifer. Hi.
So, Jennifer, tell me what's going on with you.
I'm going through a divorce, and my husband, we've not filed yet. We're going to file in the next week or so. My husband, we're still living together, but he found an apartment on Saturday. And we've been talking about this for months and months, so it's not a new thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like an emotional roller coaster where I am sad and grieving one minute, but then really excited about the future in the next minute. Mm-hmm. And Saturday when he found the apartment, I was kind of stunned almost. It was like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this thing that I've wanted, that I've asked for, is actually going to happen. Oh shit.
Right.
And so that's kind of what's going on. And I waffle back and forth between square one and square two, the mm-hmm. grieving part and then the dreaming and scheming part of what can I create.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's kind of going on.
So you're waffling between square one and square two. What's the challenge that you're experiencing kind of moving between those two squares?
Here's how I picture it. And I felt the same way when I was leaving the corporate world, but I hadn't quite left. It's this mm-hmm. in-between period. When I hadn't left, but I knew I was going to leave, I was building my coaching practice, so I think I've even heard you say this, Jessica, where I'm not the person I used to be, or we don't have the marriage we used to have, but I'm not yet single. I'm not yet, you know. And so it's this great in-between, and I've always thought of those things as like standing with one foot in a canoe and one foot in a kayak and trying not to get wet. That's the image that pops into my head.
Oh, that's an awesome visualization. So one foot in a canoe and one foot in a kayak.
Mm-hmm, and trying not to get wet.
Why don't you want to get wet?
well, because A, it's snowing outside, it's cold. But B, why don't I want to get wet? Well, that's a heck of a question.
Yeah, just sit with it for a minute. Why don't I want to get wet?
Why don't I want to get wet? Because it would be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Now I have this image of having to keep it all together.
Mm.
Keep it not messy.
What would happen if it got messy?
It's already messy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it didn't get messy, or if it did get messy.
Yeah, well, you know, why would it, what would be so bad if it got messy? If you got wet?
I don't suppose anything.
We'll go back to
that about it.
We'll go back to the visualization of one foot in a canoe and one foot in a kayak. Do you want to be in the canoe or do you want to be in the kayak?
Well, I want to be in whichever one's in square two.
How do you know which one's in square two?
That is an awesome question. Neither one of them are in square two. I think square two is the getting wet part.
That was my hunch. So what would it mean for you to take one foot out of the canoe and one foot out of the kayak and get wet? What would that look like? What would that take for you to do that? Would you take one foot out, the other foot out? Describe to me what you see when you imagine getting wet.
Oh, I see myself falling and hitting my head.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, that's what I saw. Okay.
Well, how do you keep from hitting your head? So just
I'd have to dive.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be 1 foot out, the other foot. That would be all cattywampus. I'd have to like proactively dive forward.
And why? What's keeping you with 1 foot in a canoe and 1 foot in a kayak and not diving forward?
Fear, mostly.
Is it fear of hitting your head?
No. That's why I'm just not taking one out and then the other. But why am I not diving?
Fear of getting wet?
you're back to the fear of getting...
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe because this is... Okay, so that... what's coming in my mind is then that is the great unknown. That's the being single. That's the... being worried that I can't take care of myself in the ways that he took care of me. I mean, I know I can in some ways. I haven't been alone in we've been married for 23 years and dated for several years before that. I've known him for over 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a whole new realm.
Do you know how to dive? Is it an instinct? Is that the concern? Is you're not sure how to actually take that leap forward, that dive into the great unknown?
Oh, I know how to dive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I dove out of the corporate world. It was scary. I did it. I mean, I had kids. Those are dives.
That's a good kind, I swear.
Yeah. And I know this will be good. It kind of made me teary, though, when you asked. So,
you know how to dive. Why is this time any different? What's different about it?
Oh, sorry, that made me cry.
Hmm.
Because this one means so much.
So is there a concern that you won't dive the right way, that you're not sure what you're diving into?
I don't think there's a way to dive the wrong way, so I don't think that's it. Other than hitting my head, but... sure there's a way to dive the wrong way. I need to not dive into the pier. I need
okay. Well,
get my bearings.
Progress. Yeah.
So, yeah, get my bearings. Go to the deeper water,
mm-hmm.
which is intuitively more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the deeper water.
Mm-hmm.
So getting my direction straight.
Okay. Look into the water. What do you see? You're staring into the deeper water.
Freedom.
Mm.
Place to play.
What else do you see in that deeper water? Freedom, place to play?
All of a sudden, a lot of other fish.
Mm.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. So how would it feel to dive in now?
Oh, not so bad.
What would make it feel good?
Maybe to throw a raft or a float or something out there first. So I wouldn't have to tread water for so long.
Okay.
And invite some friends to come play. That would feel good.
Yeah, I kind of got this visualization when you were saying that of your friends being in the water. I mean, come on in, the water's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And my kids. So you know, and John and I are better friends than we've ever been. It's kind of interesting. You know, I could even see him in there. John's my husband.
Right.
But in a different role, but not necessarily having to be there.
What kind of role? So sort of one that's more transient. He can be there, or he cannot be there.
You know, he's the father of my kids, and I do love him. We're really good friends. So, yeah, just in that role. That's part of what I'm afraid of losing. I don't want to mess that up.
You don't want to mess up the role that John plays in the kid's life.
Yeah, well, I don't think I can mess up the role he plays in his life. It's my life. I mean, it's already messed up. It's actually less messed up than it used to be. Because we've consciously worked on it.
Right.
So that's part of one of the reasons why I'm afraid of diving, but then also afraid of being alone. But if I can picture my friends out there playing and with floats and maybe even one of those big, huge things that you jump and off ladder and bounce off of and land in the water.
Yeah, the huge bouncy things. It's like a trampoline in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can bounce off of those and land in the water for fun.
So kind of making the dive itself a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
A little bit more playful.
Yeah.
So if we brought it back around to, quote, real life, what might be a float or a raft or something that you can put out into the water so that you wouldn't have to get tired treading? Something in your, quote, real life.
My relationship with God, the universe, and with my friends. That's a float. Also, just the thing that kept coming to my mind is sleep. Rest.
Right. So sleep and rest is fairly clear cut when it comes to how that can be a preserver for you, or a float or a raft. Making time for rest and sleep. What about using, you know, in terms of the God and friends, how can you actually leverage them to help you from getting tired?
Well, meditation is one thing. I mean, that's
okay.
Oh, it comes back to your basic self-care, essential self-care, not stereotypical self-care. But meditation is definitely, and then just remembering that you guys are out there. And I say you guys, I'm talking to Chris and Jessica, but, you know, that I can ask, I can just reach out.
Yeah, that you don't have to take care of your own needs. You don't have to provide your own float. You don't have to create, blow up your own raft. That by asking and saying, I need a float, I need a raft,
yeah,
in and of itself is helping to provide the very thing you're craving.
Yeah. Yeah,
tell
and I've got
wrong.
Friends. No, you're right. And I've got friends that would say, that would do that, you know, that would just hold space or send a virtual hug or...
Or get on a plane and fly to see you.
Yeah. I think I probably do have a few that would do that.
Uh-huh. Couple.
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 Yeah. Yeah, that makes me cry, too.
Yeah. Love will do that.
Yeah. So I think I'll dive at about 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay. All right. It's a date.
No, I think I've already, actually, that's the funny thing, is I already dove. I just keep trying to get back up in that freaking canoe and kayak.
Well, that's what I was wondering, is if maybe you've already been in the water this whole time, and it's the perception of, well, I need to balance between this canoe and this kayak, when in fact, that's you trying to put your feet on something when you're already in the water.
When I'm already in the water, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I've been in the water for months.
And you've been doing a great job. But I'm hearing that you're tired and that you're ready for some reinforcements.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on our way.
Yes, we are. Good. Yes, we are. Beautiful, you two. Are you feeling complete with the metaphor?
Yeah, I mean, that feels, you're right, that's what's so tiring, is trying to pretend that I need to balance.
We're trying to get back into a place of unbalance when you're already in the water.
In the water, which is quite balanced, actually.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny how water actually holds you up? If you think about it, water will hold you and balance you in a way that nothing in a boat can.
You are correct. Especially
or the boat's balancing too, but if you're, you know, it's in between you and the water. It's almost stopping you from that really beautiful way of being held by water.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, I think ultimately it's the difference between buoyancy and balance and balance.
Ooh, I love that.
That's good.
That's good.
Well, I mean, you're trying to be balanced on something that's not naturally meant to be balanced on.
Yeah.
And buoyancy is one of my favorite movies of all time, Hope Floats, just the title alone. The idea that you will always float back up to the top. You are naturally buoyant.
I like that. I'm going to make a note of that. Maybe that's a great movie to watch, Hope Floats.
Yeah, her whole life falls apart, and it's about her pulling it back together again, but recognizing force is not going to do it. Trying to balance between a kayak and canoe is not going to cut it.
It's not going to do it. It could be a fun game. Or not.
Or not.
Or not.
I'm picturing very sore leg muscles.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually not very fun. Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, this feels... Yeah, I think
Thank
I'm just
going
to float on a raft for a while.
Mm, that sounds beautiful.
And remember, your friends are really close by, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I can drive. I don't even have to get on a plane.
I don't have to brag.
Yeah, I'm showing off. All right. So there you have it, gang. There's the metaphor tool demonstrated beautifully by Jessica and
Jennifer.
Felt by Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I knew her name, Jennifer.
Okay.
So, Jennifer, you're probably going to need a moment to sort of come back out of that metaphor. So, Jessica, I'll ask you first. Anything strike you as you were going through the metaphor tool, you know, as the coach? Was there anything that you were wondering about which way you might go or how you might use the tool?
Actually, this time, no. Okay. Sometimes in the past, I've absolutely felt this sort of, where are we going to go with this one? But my sense is that because Jennifer has offered it up as being how she was feeling, and because it was so visceral and so ready at hand, that it was something that would flow very naturally, no pun intended. But I guess ultimately, you know, there's always this little voice in my head that, and I actually think it's fear or ego, that's like, oh God, where am I going to go? And it maybe flitted across once, but I think part of it is noticing how much space Jennifer and I created in the conversation, not trying to force it, not trying to rush it, and noticing where Javo actually came in and offered up a little, another little piece. And our clients do that if you just give them the space to do so.
I was really impressed by the pacing of this. I mean, I think, you know, it's just so beneficial to allow space and time for a client to just breathe into it, just feel into it. They will usually, it's kind of like many other tools where, you know, if you just give them a little room, sometimes this little snippet, this important little piece will come out after a moment or two of silence. And I thought that was really, really beautiful. I was so curious when you were talking about describing what Javo would see about getting wet, and she was talking about hitting her head and all that stuff. And I thought, well, there's an interesting juncture. Like, you could either talk about the water or going into the deep water, or you could talk about hitting your head, right? And that could be another metaphor you could work on. And then I was also thinking, wow, wouldn't it be cool to just ask Jennifer to execute that dive into the water and see where that wanted to go. But any of the above, you know, that or what happened, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens in the course of a session, of a discussion around metaphor, is always going to be rich with stuff. And there's nothing that says we discovered as this conversation went along in that really beautifully sweet pace that Javo was already in the water. So, you know, if we then had her take a dive, you know, if we'd asked her to take a dive earlier in that conversation, we might not have had that realization, right? But who knows what else would have been under there? We don't know. That's the fun thing about metaphors. There's just a lot of mystery to
it. I mean, we could have gone into the metaphor of the fish. We could have gone into the metaphor of the hitting the head or the huge bouncy trampoline. I mean, there were so many, or just the canoe or kayak. I happen to know Jennifer fairly well, and so I had a sense sort of from the beginning that she was already in the water. I don't know if I could have articulated that, but I had this sense that she actually wasn't balancing between the two, that she had already made the choice. But again, I don't know. I wouldn't have known to ask that or talk about it until I knew. Until at the end when she essentially offered that up herself. And that's the thing about the metaphor is when you allow the space, when you allow that pacing, it's really kind of remarkable how much you realize you knew that you didn't know that you knew as both the coach and probably, I would guess, as the client. Tell me where I'm wrong, J-Mo.
No, you're right. You are absolutely right. Yeah, it's. I appreciated the pacing and the space to just let me visualize, because that is being between square one and square two, and you guys all have clients that are here in this kind of in between space. Is that to be able to have that glimpse of the vision of the fish in the water and the bouncy trampoline and the fun and the play. that, I mean, this is a whole different coaching call, but, you know, the whole, the emotion behind the guilt, behind moving forward, or the whatever might be holding me back from actually playing, mm-hmm. to be able to sit and have that and it be held, mm-hmm. and not judged, or not, you know, it, for, by myself, me not judging it, mm-hmm. was exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, you actually said when we were talking about keep from hitting your head,
mm-hmm.
Chris, I absolutely, my marmoset was like, ooh, that's interesting. But if, when folks will notice, if they listen to this recording again, Jennifer was pretty emphatic that she really wasn't worried about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the time, I was right there with you. I was like, oh,
yeah.
What's that?
and that actually brings up a really important sort of teachable moment, in the sense that so often our metaphors go off and it's like, ooh, I want to go there. And if, as a coach, I allow myself to just say, okay, I can go there, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to wait a beat or two, just going to mm-hmm. wait a breath or two and see what else reveals itself to me. I can still go in the direction of the hitting the head, but let's just sit here and be peaceful for a moment and see what else wants to come out, if anything.
Yeah.
So and I think that a lot of times we dive in, pardon the metaphor, you know, we dive in so quickly that, you know, we may be losing some richness. So that was the other reason why that pacing felt so beautiful and was so rich.
One note that when, and this is just, I learned this along the way coaching, is when a client is kind of ready to allow themselves to dream and allow themselves to feel like, oh, I'm in the water, how fun is this, you know, and allow themselves mm-hmm. to go there. It's so easy, though, when somebody slips into an emotion of tears, of crying, of, you know, to pull them back into square one. And I love that Jessica did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
She did not find, oh, what's the thing causing the sadness? What's the thing causing the tears?
Mm-hmm.
Which could have, that's where it could have gone if she went to the place of I might hit my head, you know, what are my fears? And then you go back and you could do the work on those thoughts, and that's all fine mm-hmm. and dandy. And what a relief to rest, to not do that, to
mm-hmm.
allow myself to just dive. And so sometimes it is really, really nice to not go back to the mind, to not go back to the limiting beliefs, to go forward into the dreaming. And so often, I didn't do that as a new coach. I would always go back to the limiting belief. And
mm-hmm.
so I really appreciated that Jessica allowed space to not do that this time and to actually go into the dreaming space. So thank you.
You're so welcome. You know, I will say, I have increasingly fallen in love. I don't know what's happening. My language is not happening. But this in-between space is really becoming sort of my favorite place to play, not because it's fun and enjoyable for people to be there as much as it's the place we resist the most,
mm-hmm.
and it's also the place where coaching is, I think, most potent, but also requires the lightest touch.
Mm-hmm.
And
good
so
point.
Allowing that space, I've noticed as I've gotten more and more experience as a coach, the more space I allow, the more trust that I have that what needs to happen will happen,
mm-hmm.
the more I can be quiet with a client and not try and fix their tears or their problems, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
That took a long time because I was always like, ooh. I was like a little monkey, ooh. Or a marmoset. So this in-between place is where that becomes the most valuable skill, is just space and allowing and not trying to go back to the mind, but staying with the client where they are in the metaphor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the sayings that I've heard Martha say several times, it's sometimes we don't cry when we lose hope. We cry when we regain it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it could have gone back into the sadness of the losing hope part, But I mean, I think that's maybe where I was putting myself into the canoe and kayak is that I really am liking this place of hope,
mm-hmm.
and allowing myself to stay there and just dive in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need a canoe or a kayak anymore. You can trust
no.
that you are buoyant, that you will, that
yeah.
hope float, that it will pop
yeah.
back up to the surface. And we're
yeah,
not
so,
in the canoe or kayak. We're in the water with you.
Yeah, and so to Jessica's point about leaving space for the client is that most people will, well, I would, I don't know that that might be a limit. That might not be true, but I was going to say most people will probably... Some people will want to lean toward hope. When they're on the precipice of between square one and square two, or early square two, they're going to want to lean toward hope.
Mm-hmm.
And to allow that space was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually feel like tears are always hopeful, and I never, I don't know, not anymore. I tend to not react to the tears. I tend to really find them to be incredibly hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know when that shift happened, though. Maybe I cried enough tears.
I find that to be true as well. And so not trying to jump in and fix it is, yeah, I think that's a very powerful point that you made.
It's funny, years and years ago when I was in grad school, I, as part of my practica, I had to do a therapy group together with a therapist, and I was not the therapist in the room, obviously. I was more witnessing what was going on, and one of the things that he, I had this instinct to grab the box of tissues and to want to go to somebody who was crying and hand them a tissue. And once I felt this sort of very gentle hand on my arm, and I stopped, and then later on he said to me, "Don't be so quick with the tissues. Let them be with what is."
Mm-hmm.
And I've never forgotten. It was such a powerful moment, and it sounds so simple, but I've never forgotten what he meant by that. And that's what we're talking about here. It's hope. It's release. It's, you know, the tears can be a number of different things, but it's always about let the client be in that space right now,
mm-hmm.
because that's where they are. Just, you know, let your discomfort, ego, whatever it is, fear of not getting the coaching session right, let all that sit, let all that be, and allow the tears to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So
beautiful.
Yeah. Well, everybody, anything else to add about metaphor? I'm feeling complete. How about the two
of you? I'm feeling complete. Well, to me, this is just an illustration of how somebody doesn't have to be deep in square two or square three for metaphor to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The in-between place is a great mm-hmm. place for metaphor.
Yes.
The threshold.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to both of you for your willingness to coach and be coached. And good luck,
thank
everybody
you,
who's listening in. We hope you found that helpful.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks.